Wash away that pesky pollen today with Protected Shine from your nearby Zips Car Wash. And listen to this. Now when you buy your next car wash online at ZipsCarWash.com, you pay even less. That's right, we save you money off our amazing washes. Plus, you also get to skip the line and use our Express Lane service. When you're ready to shine, skip the line and save time and money with your online wash code. Find your nearest location at ZipsCarWash.com. Then drive and shine today.
Progressive covers pets in our auto policy at no extra charge. Now, let's hear what your dog has to say.
As a dog, I think Progressive's auto pet policy is... Oh, what is that? That's just my tail. Weird. Anyway, Progressive protects... There it is again. See? This is why I need protection. I'm so distracted. Nope, that is still my tail.
Progressive Auto Insurance covers pets for up to $1,000 in a car accident at no extra charge. And we think your dog would say that's great, too. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage for cats and dogs included with the purchase of collision coverage and subject to policy terms.
You knew the job was dangerous when you took it, Fred.
I have a question. Shh, be respectful of me.
You can act like a man!
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
I guess I should salute you as a worthy adversary and all that, but the truth is, I really did hate your guts.
This is the Signal Storm Podcast.
Not a lot going right in the United States, as I have been telling you on the Salcedo shows, on radio, on television, and here on the podcast. There are some things that I think that we need to know and understand about some of the issues plaguing the United States of America right now. I think we've covered the border extensively, and I've got another podcast coming up this week that is going to be, well, knock your socks off, some of the revelations that are in this podcast. So please, folks... Please make sure you get our conversation on the border when it drops later on this week. But there are other issues out there that are plaguing these once United States. The debt ceiling, for example. Now, I do firmly believe that the Democrats want to do maximum harm to the United States of America. They want to bring us to our knees. So I believe that's why the Democrats are fighting so hard to default on the debt. As you all know, Speaker Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans got busy back in February. They formulated a plan. They debated a plan. They passed the plan, and with very thin margins, in the House of Representatives. And this plan raises the debt ceiling by $1.5 trillion to pay for past irresponsible and feckless spending, and it sets curbs on spending in the future. And I want to expand on that. Because the Democrats are out there calling these cuts. These are cuts. No, there are no cuts being proposed. I wish there were. But there are no cuts being proposed by the House of Representatives and the Republicans who run it. They are only talking about reducing the rate of spending increases. I really wish we had a budget that spent less money this year than we spent last year. That would be optimal. That would be something a conservative could get behind. As it stands now, they only plan on trimming $5 trillion off of the spending over the next 10 years, which is, again, just discretionary spending. They're not even touching the drivers, the main drivers of our debt, all of these entitlement programs, which they desperately need to do. But you can't do that when you have people who are dedicated to putting all of those entitlement programs on steroids and overloading the system and destroying the United States of America. That would be the Democrat Party. Now, what have you heard about the debt ceiling? You've heard that when you hit the debt ceiling, that means we're going to default. Did you know that they're not the same thing? Default and the debt ceiling are not the same thing. We can hit the debt ceiling, and all that means is the federal government cannot borrow more money from your great-great-grandchildren anymore. They can't do that anymore. They have to spend what they get and only what they get from the U.S. taxpayers. Right now, so far this year, over $2.6 trillion has been brought in by the Internal Revenue Service from our fellow countrymen into government's coffers. So they would be able to use that money to you know, pay off the interest of the debt, you know, do Social Security, do whatever they need to do, get the military financed and such. But they're not going to be able to fund every jot and tittle of this overburdensome, overpopulated, massively huge leviathan known as the federal government, which was never intended to be this big, which is so big it's unmanageable. So there would really be no default unless Beijing Biden and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Hakeem Jeffries and Mitch McConnell decide, you know what, we're going to spend money on things that are entitlement programs, and we're not going to pay our debts, and we're not going to pay our bonds, which legally they can't do. I say we should stop funding the FBI and the Department of Injustice because of all of the headlines. You guys have seen, you know, the Durham report, what was revealed about the FBI. They're crooked. You've seen the selective prosecutions of Republicans and the basically non-prosecution of Democrats who have committed crimes, the double standard. 278,000 abuses by the FBI of our people, according to a FISA court. According to the FISA court, which is supposed to be foreign intelligence surveillance. And by the way, the FBI is protecting Beijing Biden. They are a protection racket for Democrats. Christopher Wray, the FBI director, has pledged he will not release an investigation that shows that Beijing Biden sold out this country for a payday to the highest bidder, foreign buyers who paid the Bidens cash to sell out our country and change American policy. Representative James Comer, on oversight, says FBI Director Christopher Wray is defying a congressional subpoena for an unclassified record alleging a criminal scheme involving then VP Joe Biden and a foreign national. If Director Wray refuses to hand over this record, GOP oversight will begin contempt of Congress proceedings. Oh, yes. Nobody is more contemptible than the FBI Director Christopher Wray and the deep state that he represents. We're going to dive deep into all this, folks, and some other things on my mind and my guest's mind coming up on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Are you sick of all these Medicare commercials? Well, what if you're under 65 and need quality, affordable health coverage? American Medical Plan specializes in under 65 health insurance plans that have zero copays at the doctor and no deductible on all outpatient services, including surgeries. You pick your doctors and hospitals. There are private plans, enroll anytime, and they are 30 to 60% less than Obamacare. If you're paying too much for your own health insurance, call American Medical Plan. They will customize a plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to The Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Did you know drag shows for kids are being normalized in Texas? Sexualizing Texas children is happening right now, and you can learn how it affects our state by going to TexasScorecard.com today. Get real news for real Texans.
So if we continue to fund all of this malfeasance in the FBI and the DOJ, folks, we are in heap big doo-doo. To help me set the table on that, let me bring in Brian Hesher McLean. He holds a master's degree in information technology management, spent 16 years working in the field of large-scale experiment design and analysis, and for decades he's been focused on podcasting with an emphasis on media analysis, propaganda deconstruction, a technocracy, and cultural engineering. Brian is a co-host on TNT Radio's State of the Nation. That's the name of the program, folks, and I've been on that program. It's pretty good. Brian, welcome to the Salcedo Storm podcast.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me. It's great to hear you again.
Great to hear from you, my friend. So I know you recently paid a visit to the border, and I want to get on that. But there's a couple of things I think that are really top of mind for a lot of folks out there. The abuse of the American government as it pertains to the FBI, to the DOJ, to the alphabet agencies. A report over the weekend says, and this is courtesy of the FISA court, a FISA court filing reveals the FBI improperly used warrantless search powers more than 278,000 times in 2021 alone. The queries targeted people involved in January 6th, the George Floyd riots, and donors to a failed congressional candidate. 278,000 abuses in 1 year, and something tells me it's not getting better. What do you say?
It's not going to get better. Yeah, there's this is an absolute mess. I mean, we're basically a banana republic right now, just with a different veneer. It's just gotten completely insane. I mean, I was watching some of the footage of FBI whistleblowers, and it's shocking to see the way that they've been treated,
yep.
Yet no surprise whatsoever after watching what's happened to, you know, Roger Stone, Paul Manafort. I mean, the list goes on and on. The abuse of this system, the political abuse, is absolutely staggering. Like, this, it really, you know, I love America. I love the country. I love the people. But my goodness, are we really America anymore with this going on? I mean, it really feels like we should call ourselves something else.
Well, yeah, we've been calling the FBI, the DOJ, and all the alphabet agencies. You can just forget their previous letters. Just call them all KGB, because that's pretty much how they're behaving. And, you know, Peter Navarro, for example, he was arrested and put in shackles in the middle of Ronald Reagan International Airport. Completely unnecessary. But they do this to send a message of intimidation, threats, and coercion, because the FBI is now run by Democrats. The Democrats now dominate Washington, D.C. And do you think it's fair to say, Brian, the Republicans are running scared?
I don't know what they're doing. Honestly, what are you doing, larger GOP? I mean, are you running scared? Are you part of this? I mean, can you at least come up with a platform, you know, that maybe the party could agree upon? Can we get past this whole, rhinos versus freedom caucus, and maybe just create or, you know, fix the party such that it actually represents, you know, a constitutional republic, you know, something that has some sort of representation? What are you guys doing? I mean, is it fundraising? I mean, they're not helping any of the candidates, the grassroots candidates in states like captured states like California, New York. They're just not there. It's like they're totally asleep at the wheel, or they're just complicit.
Right. And I think complicit. When you're talking about guys like John Cornyn, when you're talking about the Senate, the evil 18, we call them, the Senate GOP, who voted for that omnibus bill. They voted to fully fund all of the abuses being done to our people, because, and I think this gives us a window into the uniparty mindset. The founding fathers wanted our government to be adversarial toward itself to keep us free. So they set up this adversarial system within government, and the political parties have been busy getting rid of those protections for we the people, culminating in Mitch McConnell doing these continuing resolutions rather than doing work and budgeting, all with a wink and a nod and a backroom shake of the hand in a smoke-filled room with Democrats. And that seems to be what we're all suffering for, this collusion between the political parties. Yes?
Oh, completely. Yeah. I mean, one of the worst things about this is it has completely demoralized so much of the public. I mean, much of the public walked away from even mainstream media, you know, during the Trump years or near the end of the Trump years. There was just this fatigue, you know, this general fatigue. And I think a lot of the, you know, American-minded people, the common sense people, the, you know, the DGAF party, as I like to call them sometimes, you know, the people that just want to go to work and they don't like the smell of either of these identity politics, have completely checked out. And I don't blame them on the one hand, but on the other hand, it's like, well, what are we left with if we don't have the common sense aspect, that if we can't capture the centrist aspects of our population, what are we left with? You know, we're left with people that are, you know, just beer bonging mainstream media into their third eye 24/7 and stuck with an identity politic made to polarize us.
Yeah, and not to mention a state, an American government versus we the people. Brian McClain, our guest right now, folks, the show on TNT is called State of the Nation. So let's talk about the Durham Report. 30,000 feet up, what did you think?
The Durham Report, my goodness. I mean, you know, on the one hand, it's like this mostly should not be a surprise to anyone who was paying attention during all of this, but on the other hand, like we said, you know, a lot of people just had to unplug at some point because it just got too nasty, too divisive, tired of being in fights at the with friends and family and coworkers at the Thanksgiving dinner table, you know. So, but of course, yeah, it comes out and it's just, it confirms so much. It confirms the fact that this was a magnanimous, monolithic lie promoted by security agencies, by political parties, by a corrupted mass media cartel, and all working, you know, hand in glove to just not just destroy Donald Trump, but to destroy our fabric, you know. It's, they called everybody conspiracy theorists, Chris, for the longest time. And who was weaving the largest conspiracy in American history, perhaps?
Yep.
Just to watch it fall apart over the next few years and then admit, oh, this was just a big, large conspiracy, you know. Sorry, we shamed and blamed all you normal citizens out there for talking about this, censored you on social media. Some of you even got fired and canceled and divorced. And, you know, people ended up homeless over this stuff. People ended up dead over this stuff. You know, a lot of suicide over broken families. You know, you throw COVIDism, you throw vaxism, you throw Trumpism, you throw Russiagate-ism into the mix, and you've got this giant mental health crisis that it's caused throughout the country. It's disgusting. It's absolutely disgusting what they've done. And now they think, you know, they're just going to get away with it. And maybe they are. I mean, what's going to happen after all this? They should have to apologize to Roger Stone, to Paul Manafort, everybody's lives that they ruined. They should have to pay them back. But do you think they will? I doubt it.
Yeah, I wish I could claim credit. I wish I had thought about it first. But Rob Finnerty at Newsmax said, you know, we're going to have to come up with new conspiracies because all the old ones keep coming true. And it was so pointed. I was like, yeah, that is absolutely true. Everything they said was a conspiracy theory ended up being true and was spot on. And if you've got a member of the left, either in the press or in the Democrat Socialist Party, saying that's just a conspiracy theory, chances are you've hit the ball out of the park. Durham waited, Bob Barr's boy, or Bill Barr, Bill Barr's boy waited until after the statute of limitations had expired for all of these revelations so that nobody could go to jail for what they did. Doesn't that really reveal what Durham was really after, was basically trying to let the deep state off the hook rather than hold it accountable?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, look how fast they went after everybody at J6. They weren't going to sit around and wait for any of that to happen. You know, we could go back and look at footage of probably 500 of 7,000 mostly peaceful riots, right, from the Summer of Love. You know, look at the footage, and we could come up with all kinds of actual, you know, violent and property crimes done by those people. But where is that being looked at? I even saw footage up at Gateway Pundit this week of a, I like to call them Trantifa. I guess Antifa is all trans people now. But there was some trans activist at J6 that got caught on film punching a cop. And I don't know, but I'd be willing to bet that that person never got arrested for
hands up, don't shoot
involvement.
Hands up, don't shoot. It'll be another narrative like that, like this poor nurse in New York, this pregnant nurse who had a bunch of thugs taking her bike away from her, and it got spun to where she was the one trying to take the bike, even though she had the receipt for it. And now you've got a whole bunch of leftists running for cover because they defamed her, because they wanted to put narrative over news. You know what? And that leads me to my next question, Brian. With your focus on propaganda, isn't that what our current government has devolved into, is propaganda? And what is your take on the press taking that government propaganda and calling it news?
Oh, I love this question, Chris. Yes, you know, you've been saying it this morning a lot, narrative over news. I agree with that 100%. And I think that the narrative is the most important thing to these people right now. I mean, look how much money they're willing to lose over narrative. It's like narrative management trumps everything at this point, and to the point where it's like, don't you guys, why is it these entities that have corporate boards are now acting as though money doesn't matter anymore. It used to be narrative management was important, yeah, but I don't think it was more important than the shareholders. But at this point, for some odd reason, narrative is king.
And ESG.
That's what we do. You and I and our colleagues and people like us, it is our American duty right now to retrieve that narrative, to wrestle that narrative away from these people, because it's sick. It's absolutely sick what they're doing. And I think as far as the mainstream media itself, I think these people should be wearing military uniforms, quite frankly. They are not citizens of this country. They're acting as, military intelligence, basically, mouthpieces for military intelligence. They'd make Goebbels blush.
That's for sure. You know, and the fact that these individuals, and you've already brought this up, they feel so at ease ruining other people's lives who are innocent, like this, like the nurse I mentioned in New York, innocent people, just to continue this narrative. And anybody whose story goes against the narrative, which is, by the way, against facts, just think Jesse Smollett, folks. Jesse Smollett tried to paint a picture of a racist America. And America is so racist, he had to go out and hire actors to beat him up to create that narrative. That's exactly what your biased press is doing every day by carrying the water for these Marxists. Now, Brian, you went down to the border. I'm jonesing to figure out what you found out down there and what your report is.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was really interesting. You know, I'm a California native. I've been living here in Texas for 7 going on 8 years now. And I've never made it all the way to the south part of Texas before. I've seen everything from the west side to the center, from the center all the way up north. I've been to Oklahoma. And, when Title 42 ended, I started talking with TNT about it. And they said, why don't you go down there? I said, all right, let's do it. You know, so took one of my colleagues with me and drove down there and put eyeballs on that southern border. I got to check out the fence. I got to talk to some Army regulars, some Army National Guard, and I got to talk to Border Patrol people, some of the townspeople, just kind of trying to really get a feel for, you know, I was kind of thinking I'd get down there and I'd see like a giant surge of people, which I did not on this particular week, which I found really interesting. So, you know, we started looking at the process. We went to the gate itself and we talked to an Army regular that was there, just trying to get a feel for what the flow is and what the process, because I'm very process-oriented. I like to think about things in a workflow. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of the angle that I took there. And it's really, really interesting because there's so much compartmentalization when it comes to processing these people, right?
Yep.
So it's like someone can just walk up. The gate is the fence itself is very interesting also. It's like there's large sections of it, and then sections where there just isn't any, and then sections where there's really low fence, and then the big open parts with Army regulars manning it, and, illegal aliens will just walk up, they'll come up, and they'll turn themselves in, and they were telling us these people want to turn themselves in to us, and I said, okay, well, what's the process then? Are you arresting? Are you handing out the misdemeanors? And it's like, nope, we just call the Border Patrol. And that's pretty much that for what we do, you know. And then when you talk to the Border Patrol, they're much more tight-lipped than your Army guys are. Big shout out to the Army guys, actually. They were very willing to talk to us and give us their thoughts and opinions and tell us what the process is from their perspective.
In those Latino communities, how many Beijing Biden fans did you find down there?
Oh, I didn't see any Biden stickers. I was a little surprised about the general feel in the culture down there. You know, like I said, I'd never been down there before. It's really interesting. You know, you go down to the Hidalgo area, you go to McAllen, Donna, Texas, over toward Brownsville, and it's already 82% Latino approximately down there in these towns. So there's a totally different vibe in those towns because these means and measures of bringing people in massively, it's not like they're new to these towns. You know, maybe the surge might be new. Maybe the numbers might seem high as waves surge in. Maybe there's a little extra processing, you know, a little bit of extra red tape and bureaucracy and government support. But by and large, it seemed to me that the people down there, to them, this is pretty much nothing new.
Well, you know, in Kinney, in places like Kinney County and others along the border, they're having to put up razor wire and barricades around their schools to protect their schools from the narco-terrorists, the illegal alien surges coming in into those areas. So it depending on where you are, it depends on what kind of treatment you're subjected to down that way. By the way, before we get scoot, I wanted to ask you, any thoughts on the debt ceiling?
You know, it's the debt ceiling thing. Like, we've seen this before. We've seen them bump up against the debt ceiling before. We've seen them call quote-unquote government shutdown. I actually was a federal employee when they had one of these back in 2012, 2013. They couldn't agree on it. And, you know, they sent us home basically for a week or so while they worked on it. Didn't maybe missed a paycheck, but guess what? You know, it comes in back pay. They're going to figure this thing out, and they're going to make a big political hay out of it in the meantime, you know, scare everybody with government shutdowns and defaults. But, I mean, look what these ghouls are doing. Look at this Janet Yellen person. She can't hardly tie her shoes. She doesn't know what's going on, much less the mainstream media. You know, just another mouthpiece doing their best to toe the line for the security services and the
wow.
DNC.
Brian McClain, folks. He is on TNT Radio, State of the Nation. Make sure you check it out. Sir, appreciate the time.
Hey, thanks.
And that, my friend, is going to do it for this edition of the Salcedo Storm Podcast. Do me a favor. Visit a couple of websites for me, if you will. First one is TexasScorecard.com. That's TexasScorecard.com. That's where you need to go for all the enterprising journalism that's big in the state of Texas. Also, head on over to ChrisSalcedo.com. That's ChrisSalcedo.com. That's where you find me. On AM 700 KSEB, the voice of Texas, a simulcast with TNT Radio. Also on Newsmax TV every afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern until 5. Till we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth not measured by how much power is stolen by government, but rather by how much power is reserved for you and me. We, the people. Stay safe out there, my friends.